Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Brewers fans, thank you for making the switch after the last pitch to this show. Welcome to the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag Admirals50. Now, live from the Fan Postgame Studios, here's the franchise, Tim Allen, and Bill Baby Tausch Schmid.
A final for Miller Park, and it ends in dramatic fashion. Eric Thames walks it off in the ninth, and it took every single one of the six runs that the crew gets tonight to take out the Texas Rangers in game one. Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Schmid, Baby Tausch. Yes, in the driver's seat tonight, thanks to Tim Allen. This is one of those rest and recovery days. You got to pace yourself. A little bit of an issue. You don't want anything to tighten up. So we bring him in to pinch hit a little bit. Or right. I think it might just be you're just being nice to me because it's my birthday tomorrow. And you know I like being in the lead chair and like listening to myself talk.
Yeah, that too. You're going to run the ship here because I'm out of the starting lineup. So
it's brutal.
It is brutal. So I'm going to stick around here for a little while, but a huge Brewers win. The fashion show is over. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what Josh Hader did. It's the win here. Would you like Josh Hader to have pitched better? Yes. Would you like to win 10-0? Of course you would. It doesn't matter. Now you turn the page to game two. It's as simple as that, guys. Instead of griping about what Josh Hader did tonight or Jacob Faria or Freddie Peralta, and I'll tell you, as bad as I'm feeling, that bottom of the fifth inning and top of the sixth inning was just absolutely painful.
It was brutal, and the game just absolutely halted there in the fifth inning. We'll get into it when we recap all the action tonight. But, Tim, the walks is the number one story. You want to talk about it not being a fashion show. Neither team played particularly well, at least on the pitching side tonight. You look at what the walk situation was for both teams in this game tonight. The Brewers walk 10 Rangers, and the Brewers walk themselves 8 different times.
18 walks. You had 6 walks in the span of one inning, top and bottom. Wow. But you came away with a win. You're 61-56. The Cubs lose today. And you're now 2.5 back in the Central with 45 games remaining.
So is this one of those, Tim, when you look at it going into the retrospective, where we go back and we recap the entire season, go series by series, game by game, these are the games that in the middle of a pennant race that you're going to have opportunities on days like today where the Cubs take a tough one against Cincinnati. That's still a team that's fighting for themselves and fighting for the future, absolutely. But you're in a situation gridlocked with a team from the American League where you were 4-9 in interleague play going into today. And it's just one of those that you're able to just shrug a little bit off in a day where you did not play well at all.
No, and not even defensively you played well. There was some shoddy defense in there, but this is the definition of the line that I've been using in the past month or so. You've put yourself into the situation. It really doesn't matter how you get there, but just win. And they did it. 6-5 final. Bullpen was a little sketchy. Gio Gonzalez he did his job, but 6 Brewers pitchers in this one, and Josh Hader will not pitch again until at least Tuesday against the Twins.
A weird decision, and it's our correction of the game brought to you by Milwaukee County House of Correction. Tim, Josh Hader in the game late, and he comes in for what was going to be theoretically a 5-out save. As he comes out in that 8th inning, you're feeling good, locked down a little bit there in the 8th inning. It works around, a little dicey, and in the 9th inning, it blows up in the face with a solo shot that ties the game up. But 4 Ks, Hader with 44 pitches, though, in that ninth inning. It was difficult because you can't necessarily go get him, but he's laboring in at-bats. The one with Hunter Pence was just drawn out and Odor to finally end the inning there in the ninth. Those were big-time pitches that Hader had to throw.
And I'll bet you ask him, he wanted to stay and finish this thing and get it done.
Oh,
get
no
it
doubt.
To the ninth tied there. He did hit a couple of batters as well, but 10 walks, and nine walks surrendered by Brewers pitchers, and they also hit a couple of batters. So 11 walks or 11 freebies in this game, but they get the win. That fashion show thing, it's the epitome tonight. It really doesn't matter how it looks right now. I know we want to win a certain way. There really is in
somewhat of
in
a
lot
code of
sports.
Ethics in winning, right?
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of fan base in a lot of sports that, you know, winning isn't enough. It's got to look a certain way.
Sure, you got to blow teams out. You got to get the style points.
And in this case, because you're in this really wild NL situation for the postseason, who cares? I mean, at this point, who cares? You don't have 2018's Brewers here. You got 2019's Brewers here, and they're going to have to come back, and there's going to be heartbreak, and there was a little bit tonight. They surrendered four runs with one out in the eighth inning. I mean, that's just, I mean, you got to do a little bit better than that. But at the end of the day, they get their win, 2.5 back. Cubs lose to the Cincinnati Reds, and all is good.
Brewers win an ugly one here tonight, 6-5, the final. If you're leaving Miller Park, you can join us, 414-799-1250. We'll react with you guys in just 1 minute. But first, our game recap starts out with Gio Gonzalez, or as Bob Uecker now, Tim, it's Gigi is what I'm picking from you. Gigi. It sounds like a dog that is like 4.5 pounds in a big fluff ball.
There was or is a rock star named Gigi Allen. I don't even know if he's a rock star.
Sure,
but it's
playing
Gigi
Time
Allen.
Warp or something?
No, you need to look that dude up.
Yeah, I definitely
because
will.
He
That's
does
how I'll
some,
spend my weekend.
He does some crazy stuff on stage. And when I mean crazy, I mean like borderline, we're going to have to lock this dude up.
Borderline disrespectful is what you're saying.
During the break, I'm telling you, look up Gigi Allen.
Good. Bottom half of the first inning, the scoring gets underway. Brewers with Lorenzo Cain leading off, leads it off with a single. Back-to-back strikeouts to Keston Hira and Mike Moustakas. A stolen base from Lorenzo Cain sets up number 8.
And Braun, that is fair. Just over the bag and down the line it goes. Hits the sidewall. Cain will score. And Ryan Braun with an RBI double. The Brewers strike first tonight.
Yeah, he got that.
Brian Anderson, Bill Schroeder on Fox Sports Wisconsin.
A big crowd at Miller Park tonight, 35,000. And the first thing I thought when I saw that lineup is, against the lefty, you got Moose hitting third. I would have hit Braun third against that lefty.
So you would have stacked up the righties there at the top 1, 2, 3.
I think so. Yeah, you've got a lot of different opportunities off the bench with the left-handed bats, but it pays off there with Kane in scoring position. Brawny comes through.
A one-out or a two-out walk in that top half of the second. Gio Gonzalez is cruising at this point and feeling good, looking good. The pacing was really, really nice through the first early portion of the game for Gio and also for the Rangers at large, Tim. The game was moving through the first four innings.
Yeah, that lefty, I think he caught the Brewers by surprise a little bit. There was some velocity there by him, and he had the cutter working into right-handed hitters, and that was huge.
An infield single in the top half of the third is stranded by the Rangers. Brewers leave Kane after a walk in the bottom half of the third. It's still 1-0 Crew in the top half of the fourth inning. Hunter Pence finds a two-out. Long home run, a booming home run to left center, nearly leaves the ballpark, and really the only blemish on Gio Gonzalez's night all night.
Yeah, 49 feet.
It was about four rows away from leaving the building, Tim. It was an absolute blast by Pence.
That's a big one, but again, we look at the starters here, and the starters for your 2019 Brewers, guys, talking about Gigi here, Gio Gonzalez, mm-hmm. These guys are doing their job. I know it's a makeshift rotation. I get it. There's a lot of injuries taking a bite out of that rotation. But the rotation, the way it sits now, you can't argue with it. You really can't.
It's 1-1 through 4.5, and we get to the bottom half of the fifth inning, and it slows down after a strikeout to Grisham. HP reaches on an infield single, a walk, and a pitching change sets up Keston Hira for, you guessed it.
3-1.
These are fun.
And that's outside, ball four.
Wasn't that fun, Tim?
Yeah.
A walk.
The old bases loaded walk highlight.
And the inning ends right there after Keston Hiura walks. Strikeouts to Moustakas, Braun. You'll hear this a lot later on in the game recap, Tim. Wasted opportunities, especially with the bases loaded.
They get the bases loaded with one out and a couple of strikeouts there. The following inning, they get a couple of runners aboard with nobody out, and they come up empty there. And maybe one of the reasons why they didn't walk away with this win is missed opportunities, as you said.
Freddy Peralta comes in to pitch the sixth inning, gets two straight outs, and then three straight walks, sets up Hunter Pence once again. He scores on a wild pitch from Alex Claudio and a really strange play as the wild pitch scores one run, and Odor gets a little bit greedy there, Timmy, trying to plate from second base.
Yep, Rugden Odor, he's nailed at the plate. And what's interesting about that, they utilized their challenge the inning before on HP's leadoff.
Yep.
Or I should say one out infield single. Had they not done that, or if the game got to the later stages of the ball game, they could have asked for a crew chief replay, and it would have made the difference. And that was a huge run at that time. But that's where challenges come in and help the crew out.
In the bottom half of the sixth inning, a leadoff walk to Grandal. Base hit from Manny Pena. Another big opportunity for the Brewers. Wasted. A ground ball double play by Trent Grisham. Perez strikes out swinging. And the sixth ends there. It's still tied at two. In the bottom half of the seventh inning, the scoring starts again for the crew, and it all with two outs. A double by Hiura. Moustakas is intentionally walked. Thames walks. The bases are loaded, and your boy, Yasmani Grandal, once again steps up.
Full count, two outs. Runners go. Grandal, line drive, down, base hit. One run is in. Hiura, right behind him, Moustakas. A two RBI single for Yasmani Grandal, and the Brewers lead 4-2.
Yep. You couldn't have placed it any better out in the outfield, just over the exaggerated shift. Grandal's able to dump that one in between the second baseman and right fielder, makes it a 4-2 game, and Manny Pena attacks on next.
Sean Kelly deals, Grandal takes off, and a base hit in the left center. In the score is Thames. Grandal on his way to third. Way to second.
Nobody there.
And it is 5-2 Brewers. Manny Pena delivers again.
So three runs on three hits after big. Seven, and Timmy, you're feeling great at 5-2.
Yeah, no, you're feeling really good at that time because you're thinking if Jacob Faria can get in there and do his job, eighth inning, you can go to Josh. It's still a safe situation there at 5-2. You start taking a peek at tomorrow's game, don't you, at that time?
For sure.
I think you do, and maybe counts did there, bringing in Faria, and it ended up not working out because the Rangers got right back in it, two-run shot.
After a one-out walk to Odor, Logan Forsyth makes it a one-run game with a two-run shot, then enter Josh Hader there after a hit-by-pitch to the first man he sees, gets two strikeouts of Trevorino and DeShields, and you're feeling good. Still a one-run game into the bottom half of the eighth inning. Brewers don't get anything after a gamble walk. Kane grounds into a double play, and it sets up the top half of the ninth inning for Elvis Andrus to tie this bad boy up with a 420-foot homer into the camera well in center.
Josh has got to get through this, man. He's got to get through it, and he's a reliever in the big leagues. He's not perfect, but he's got to get through this stuff.
Sure.
We have to take a look at some of the numbers maybe tomorrow on how he's been doing since July 1st because he's looking like a mere mortal.
I like that you say tomorrow, Tim, because you can really only dwell on the past so much because after a walk, a hit by pitch, two strikeouts, you get out of the top half of the ninth inning, and as you're sitting here just – withering away. This man is so gravely ill, ladies and gentlemen. I tried to get him to leave in the seventh.
Nope.
I tried to get him to leave in the eighth. It gets tied in the ninth, and I'm like, dude, this thing is probably going to end at about 12:45, 1 in the morning. Just go home, get some sleep. I need you the rest of the weekend. This guy's like, nope, they're walking off. And, well, Eric Thames makes you look like a swami.
And Thames, way back!
Eric Thames does it big time for the fourth win in a row.
Four in a row on a day in which you enter onto the Wall of Fame, Ricky Weeks, J.J. Hardy, and Trevor Hoffman. I know later on in the show you've got some things lined up for that, but that was really cool. The pregame ceremony was outstanding by the Brewers.
There wasn't much better than whenever you can still hear Hell's Bells and all the hair on your arms and back just continue to stand up, and Trevor Hoffman runs out of that left center bullpen, Timmy. It was amazing. The feels in that building were outstanding. And you look back at what Ricky Weeks and J.J. Hardy meant. We'll talk about it a little bit later in the program, but I want to get your take on it because you believe strongly in those Doug Melvin teams. That really put the Brewers back on the map, especially in this town, for some sustained success.
Yeah, it did, and it was Jack Cerenzik also that basically drafted all of those guys, and Ryan Braun joins them, you know, maybe a year or two after. But you also had other contributors outside of the Corey Harts and the Weeks and Hardy and Prince Fielder and Ryan Braun. I mean, you had others. A guy by the name of Yovani Gallardo joins that crew. A guy by the name of Manny Parra. For what you think of Manny Parra, he had a decent little
run
here.
Great that we had
here.
To bring that up. That name.
Well,
up
it wasn't.
This
that.
Is a it happy wasn't. Night, Tim. They just walked off. I don't want to think about Manny Parra getting punched in the dugout.
That's true. But yeah, it was super super sweet. And that's, you know, again, a testament to the relationship and the fan base that the Brewers have with their Brewers.
Our turning point in the game from Great Lakes Dragway. Check out all the events and track rental info at greatlakesdragway.com. Timmy, it's Josh Hader. And quickly before the break, a turning point in this Brewers season you and I have thought for a long time was going to be the Brewers being able to get Josh Hader into that role where you're able to let him go at any point in time, unleash him at certain points in the game. You feel like you're getting closer and closer to that situation, but now it just gets farther and further away from the sustained success that Hader's been able to get every single night.
No, he's a closer now with a little bit of length. That's what you have with Josh Hader now. At this point, we all have to live with that. That's what they've got right now. Counts set it up right. You got a 3-run lead. He goes with Jake Faria, and Jake Faria needs to get 3 outs right there, because then Josh Hader, with his pitch count down a little bit, you assume that in a 1-inning save, the pitch count will be within reason to at least pitch on Sunday. In this case, it actually helped the Brewers in a weird way. It did, because you could go with a little more length. But again, the caveat to that is he's out for the series, right?
No doubt.
We can all agree he's not pitching tomorrow. He's not pitching on Sunday, the off day, and then he'll be ready to go on Tuesday.
414-799-1250. Eric Thames walks it off for the crew. A 6-5 win over the Rangers in game one of this 3-game set. They've now won 4 in a row. The best way,
four
Timmy,
straight.
To bounce back after losing all 3 down in Chicago. This team is squarely in it. And at this point, can you start to taste a little bit of what we've been looking for a long time here in 2019, getting to some of that? And also, this is making me feel sentimental with Eric Thames. Timmy, he's cranking up the crowd. He's looking like a professional wrestler out there. It reminds me of when Scotty Farrell, he's out there stripping him naked. The guy is jacked. I can't even believe it. This guy is huge.
No, but that's what this team needs right now. It needs its own sort of energy. Maybe it's comedic in nature. Maybe it's just a new form of the gauntlet, if you will. But, I mean, it needs something. It needs a little spike here, and that certainly will help 4 straight victories with a walk-off win tonight.
Your reaction next, 414-799-1250. Brewers winners tonight, Tim Allen and Baby Tausch here on The Fan.
Was it a moonshot or a big line drive? Let's get today's Wrench and Go drive of the game. Need auto parts? Wrench and Go is a self-service yard. Bring your own tools and access the lowest priced auto parts around. This is the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
And Thames, way back! Thames goes yard, and the Brewers win the opener of this series.
Brian Anderson. Anderson after the game. That's Eric Thames walking it off at Miller Park. 6-5 winners are the Brewers in an ugly, ugly game against the Texas Rangers.
Doesn't
but a
matter.
Win is a win is a win, and this is the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. I'm Bill Baby Tao Schmidt. That is the franchise Tim Allen.
Yeah, I'm hanging out. Billy is in the starting lineup. I'm off the bench today.
This is fun. I'm starting to like this. So now I get to feel what the utility players do once they finally get those days where you're in the starting lineup. Because, Tim, you know pinch hitting is the hardest thing you're going to do in baseball.
That's right. Hey, four straight victories for the Crew, getting themselves five games over 500. Feeling good? Yeah, there were some ugly moments of this game. I think you could call it one of those drunk games.
Yes.
And that was someone said.
Yeah, Adam McAlvey said this game's drunk. And it really was, but it's not like the good kind of drunk, Tim. This is that drunk where like you end
sloppy.
Up waking up like on your front lawn.
Yes, this was a sloppy one.
But
a good one in that Eric Thames walks it off. And boy, you talk about the 9-game road trip. And how that started out through the first six of them, 1-5, and really that was after the rock bottom point, right? After the third and final loss to Chicago, that was the rock bottom. It pretty much could not get any worse from right there. But hey, commend this team for bouncing back, winning three straight games on the road, coming back here. Really challenged late in this ball game, Billy. They really were, and
no doubt they
could have laid down. They could have laid down, but Thames comes through.
This is now, I think, the third time, Tim, that you can look into the season this year and find points where you're right. You look at almost being to rock bottom, right? I think of the 13-13, where you start to go. I think they go 8-2 after that 13-13 start. And you're looking at yourself, trying to pick yourself off the mat. The season's going to go one of two ways. You're one game over 500 after the brutal stretch you got on, and you start digging yourself back out of it. And now, after that Cubs series, you're in the same situation where you're right there on the tipping point of being possibly a bad week from being 7 or 8 games out. Now you're going to wake up tomorrow 3 games back of the Chicago Cubs.
Is it 3 or is it 2.5?
Two and a half. Chicago Cubs after they lose tonight to the Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah, and that's, guys, that's huge. It is, and Billy's right in that. You know, you could probably go into a little funk, and they probably will at some point, losing 3 of 5 or something like that. But they've, with these four consecutive wins, it's big because it buys you that losing 3 of 5 doesn't kill you.
Right. 414-799-1250. Listen to us on the radio.com app in West Virginia. It's Lewis. Lewis, you're on the fan.
Hey, guys. First time caller here. But I really wanted to talk about what Eric Thames said at the end of the game. He said, "We're not giving up." You know, it kind of reminded me of last season. Same situation. Eric Thames hit a walk-off home run against Colorado.
Yep.
And having the same type of mentality. You know, people are in the Dunn Club, whatnot. I'm here to say that I am not in the Dunn Club. You know, we have 40-some games left, 2.5 out. We are in the second wild card spot right now, and there's no reason to give up on this team, and they are hot right now. Four games in a row.
Lewis, we talked about it a couple of days ago, and we appreciate you joining us, that David Stern says this team's got to play their best baseball through the next 46 games. Do you believe that they're capable of doing that?
I believe we're able to get on a special run. We always talk about special season, you know, special players.
Mm-hmm.
We have two rookies up here who are making impact immediately. We have new pitchers coming up, you know, like Devin Williams, who's here making impact already. I mean, we have the ingredients to make a special season. So I'm here to say that I believe we can make a crazy run at the end like we did last year and become, you know, the new standard for 2020.
Appreciate the call, Lewis. That's optimism in the sense of, Tim, being able to put the experience, the playoff experience, and that's kind of savvy here into the late postseason run that you're going to have to make into September.
Well, and for years ago, what was discussed about Ned Yost and what happened with Ned Yost teams, they couldn't finish.
Yeah.
They couldn't finish. They get out to a 24-10 start, and they head out on a road trip, and then they get their tails handed to them, and it spirals them a little bit. Well, don't you – this year – if they do get on that run, like Lewis says, then couldn't you then say, well, under Council, his teams finish strong? I think so. If you say the opposite is true for Ned Yost, you got to say what's true for Counts as well.
Well, and here I think you can start to find a trend in Craig Council teams. Right there in the middle of July, you're going to take a swoon. Right in the beginning of July, it was before the All-Star break the last 2 years, and then in 2017, the season where you get one through 161 and you lose there on the second to last day of the season, it was when you were 5.5 games up right there after the All-Star break.
There's trends in baseball, and we all know that, and we might be seeing one being developed under Stearns and Council once they have their guys. Maybe it is. And, you know, to add the bonus to this, is this team, especially on the pitching front, is only going to be healthier. Now with the September call-ups, you're going to get additional support just from internal acquisitions, but you're also going to get healthier. Brent Suter's on a path back.
Yeah.
And Billy and I are on the same page here. We both believe that Brent Suter is needed on this team.
Plain as day, Tim. I don't understand it. I mean, he's the current electric spark of the game. Find your superhero electrician. Call current.com every single game. I don't understand how, but they are just better when Brent Suter is on the team.
I don't either.
You called him the mascot last year. I think that might be the deal.
For your analysis here, I've been listening, and it's I think I agree with a lot of it. I was in and out of the game, but I caught the ninth inning and the eighth and some of the middle, and you had, despite all the missed chances, you had to be feeling good. But you know, after that eighth inning and you know how quickly that ended, I just in the back of my mind had a feeling they were going to at least tie the game. It just was the way the game was going tonight. As one of your fellas said, drunk. It was a drunk game.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of strange things happened. But I think, Tim, you've hit it very well here, that the hitting needed to pick up, and it has, certainly in these four games. But I hope we can keep Hader. I hope you're right that he doesn't go till Tuesday. I think that 44 pitches, that's a lot of pitches. And, you know, I think we've had some issues. As nice as this bullpen is on paper, it's been a little slumpish lately. And we've got away with it tonight, thanks to Eric Thames. That was
no doubt.
I was just saying in the top of the ninth, keep it tied. I know it's disappointing right now, but keep it tied. And let's re-win it in the ninth. And the big guy came through, as he has at times in the past. And, you know, I ended up predicting guys through the center league play. I thought we'd go 3-2. I thought we'd get 2 out of 3 from the Rangers and split with the Twins. And I think with this win tonight, we have a real good chance to do all of that. And keep in mind, the Twins are a little cold right now. I mean, the Indians have really taken them to the woodshed at their home park.
Indians are good,
too. It's going to be crazy, guys. It's going to be a great run. I think we're going to be in it till the wire. But look out for those New York Mets.
No doubt.
About dramatic.
That is frustrating. Thanks for the call, Marshall. Yep. Those New York Mets, Tim, they're one of my favorite teams to laugh at, but right now there's no laughing matter what's going on in Flushing Meadows.
No, they are on a major roll. And again,
maybe that's what happens when your general manager throws a chair at the manager. Maybe that's just what happens.
See, and that it did spark something, didn't it?
Yeah.
Now again, for those that don't like the tirades by managers, general managers, players, etc., maybe you look back at their situation as the turning point when that chair was thrown. Here, you do have a lot of teams involved with this, and now just 45 games left, guys, and it seems like a good chunk of games, and to some regard, it is. But man, is this going to be fun?
All right, Timmy. Before I send you off to bed, because you got to get out of here. I don't want you in this studio as long as you've been in here, because I've already gone through 2 bottles of Lysol. So first, we're going to give you the box score, and I want to run some of these numbers by you. Inside the Box, brought to you by Laborers Local 113, Laborers International Union Local 113. Feel the power online at LIUNA113.org. It starts out with Lorenzo Cain, Tim, at the top of the lineup, drawn 2 walks, 1-for-3 with a run scored. Keston Hira, 1-for-4 with a walk and an RBI, a run scored as well. Mike Moustakas, an 0-for-4 night, but he was on base with a walk. You're going to hear a lot of those. Ryan Braun, 1-for-3 with an RBI to start the scoring off. Brawny in that 4-hole. You didn't like the configuration at the top of the lineup, Tim.
Yeah, no, I wanted Brawny to get that at-bat in the first inning. Since Yelich was out, I wanted Brawny to face the lefty. Now, again, the last year or so, he hasn't been as good against lefties, but throughout his career, he's just dominating against left-handed pitching, and maybe tonight was the night to do it.
As a pinch hitter, and the spot came up in the order right after Mike Moustakas in the ninth inning, it was the walk-off shot by Eric Thames. At a 1-for-1 with two runs scored, though, a walk and the solo shot RBI for Eric Thames. 249, and his OPS, Tim, well over 800, having a really, really, really strong contract year for Eric Thames.
He is having a good campaign. There's no question about it. Is he an everyday player? You know, a lot of teams, they don't have the 150-game guys. This is the way baseball is. But he is definitely a contributing factor here. One of the reasons why they moved Zeus, quite frankly, and they really need this guy. You're seeing the platoon over there at first base. It's Thames and Grandal.
And you thought Yasmani Grandal, the one hit that he had in a 3-at-bat performance along with a walk, was the 2 RBI shot in that 7th inning. What made it 4-2? You thought that was going to be the difference.
You did, and I thought that was going to be the turning point where they put up 3 runs in that 7th inning. Nope, bullpen couldn't hold it, and would we like that bullpen to pitch better? They're probably going to have to pitch better to get this thing done. And, again, there's a lot of moving parts out there, and we'll see if reinforcements are coming up here. I would suspect they're going to use a ton of arms starting September 1st.
The only Brewer with multiple hits in tonight's game was the catcher, Manny Pena, 2-for-4 with an RBI, 0-for-4 from Trent Grisham with 3 strikeouts. Tough home debut for the 22-year-old.
Yeah, this is growing pains for a younger guy, and we went through a little bit of that with Keston Hira, and he comes out of it better for it on the other side, and Trent Grisham's going to have to pay his dues.
HP, Hernan Perez back with the team, starts at shortstop tonight, 1-for-4, strikes out a couple of times, but does score a run. Ben Gamel, he was 0-for-1 with a couple of walks as well. The Brewers walk 8 times. They walk 10 different Rangers hitters. Gio Gonzalez, the starter, 5 innings, 2 hits, 1 run. It was earned, Tim, on a solo shot, but 3 walks from Gio, 2 strikeouts. Freddy Peralta, 2/3 of an inning, an earned run. 3 walks. Alex Claudio, he's the only Brewer to start tonight or pitch in tonight's game, and that's why he is not who got lit up by Heiser Automotive. Today is your day, online at Heiser.com. Alex Claudio, Tim, Claudio, the only Brewer pitcher to appear in tonight's game that does not walk anybody, getting 2 outs over 6 pitches.
Yeah, and he leads the league in appearances. So there's your workhorse guy.
Yep.
And there's a guy that this team is going to have to depend on.
2/3 of an inning, 2 walks, and a strikeout for Matt Albers. Does get out of a big jam there, and it was needed in that 7th inning. Jacob Faria, he goes 1/3 of an inning, gives up 2 runs on a 2-run shot. That was the only hit, a walk across as well. And Josh Hader ends up getting the win. He's now 2-5, but his 4th blown save of 2019 comes again. A 1 2/3 inning appearance, Tim. A solo shot, the only hit surrendered by Josh, but 4 strikeouts and a walk. It just did not look like Josh Hader, and he hasn't for quite some time.
No, and the weeks are starting to stack up here.
Yeah.
I didn't say days. I didn't say appearances.
No.
I said weeks. And I don't know if a break is warranted. He's going to get a nice long break. I mean, if you can.
That's for sure. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, if the offense on Tuesday, because we know he's not going to pitch the rest of this series, off day on Monday, if the offense can pick it up on Tuesday and Wednesday even, where you wouldn't need him, there's your extended break for Josh Hader. It just might be what he needs.
Brewers win it on a walk-off, 6-5, 6 runs, 8 hits, 2 errors for the Crew, and for the Rangers, 5 runs on just 4 hits, 10 walks surrendered by Brewers pitching. No errors for the Rangers tonight, but a 61-56 team now, Tim, for the Brewers, 2.5 games back in the NL Central. A half game up in the wild card for the second wild card position over those Cardinals and Mets, who both win tonight.
Yeah, don't give up on them. Don't give up on them, because you see what they're doing. You could scream competition all day long. You could say, well, the Rangers are right around a 500 team, so get over it. Or the Pirates, their ship is sinking, and so get over it. Not in a pennant race. In a pennant race, win. And they're doing that, and they've won four consecutive games now to get to five over.
So how vindicated do you feel that, one, you called the walk-off homer, and two, you made it through half hour, and now I'm going to kick you out?
Hey, if Thames flies out or rolls over on one to the right side, I was heading out. That was that.
Thank goodness. I was done using these masks, the surgical masks in the studio. Can't do a radio show with that. Go get some sleep and heal yourself up.
Thanks, dude.
That's Tim Allen, kicking him out of the studio, not feeling well. But you need him. You need rest and relaxation to be ready to go. And the Brewers get a walk-off win, 6-5, the final. Eric Thames does it in the ninth inning. Daniel Plucker's got the details in a sports flash, and we're back. You can join us at 414-799-1250 if you're leaving Miller Park. Call us up. What was the atmosphere like? And I got some memories and some moments from the pregame ceremony that if you missed it, you don't want to miss. This is the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show, 105.7 FM.
In every game, there's a moment when you say to yourself, are you kidding me? Here's the Gene Wagner Plumbing, are you kidding me? Moment of the game. A company you can trust. GeneWagnerPlumbing.com.
105.7 FM, the Fan, Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag Admirals 50, 50th anniversary of Admirals hockey. Going to be one you do not want to miss. I mean, and also I heard they got some really, really good game night entertainment out there at the Milwaukee Admirals. Actually, Little Bird actually just told me the best fan experience voted on in the Western Conference of the AHL. So, I mean, yeah, just take that for what it's worth. Just saying, really, really good game night entertainment out there at the Milwaukee Admirals. You're going to want to make sure you're out there October 12th for the home opener. 414-799-1250, the Are You Kidding Me moment of the game by Gene Wagner Plumbing. Company you can trust, GeneWagnerPlumbing.com. It's got to be the walks, 18 of them. This was just not a beautiful game to watch. If you're going to teach somebody who's never played baseball before, you're sitting your young 7-year-old son down and, hey, come on and watch a game with me. You're going to learn from the best in the game. Let's not use this one. You can burn this tape and not have to worry about it. 18 walks, errors by the crew left and right. They had two of them tonight, a couple of hit batters, just not a well-pitched game, not a very solid defensive game as well. And that is the Are You Kidding Me moment of the game. But it's not a beauty pageant. The Brewers still able to get a W after Eric Thames walks it off in the ninth inning. 414-799-1250. Rick is up in Oshkosh. He's up on the Fan. Hi, Rick.
Hey, Dan. Taking my call. There's just a couple things of notation here. You forgot to mention that the Rangers still run themselves out of one pin that's going out at the plate.
Yep.
The other was that helped them, because otherwise any team that gets 10, 12, 14 base runners without a hit should score about 10 runs.
Yeah, not many teams are going to have less hits than runs in one game,
right.
And the Rangers able to do that tonight.
I mean, so I know it was sloppy, it was brutal, but this is my take on the situation here. Now that I saw that they got seven pitchers on a DL. So I'm doing Greg Council, I'll pass again. But they have to go 33-12. And I think the only way they get in is win the division. You know, Mets and the Nationals are going to take those two wild card spots. I mean, they've got the pitching.
You're saying they're going to have to go 33-12 to win the division?
Yep. It's 94 wins.
That's 94 wins. Rick, I'm gonna tell you this. That is most likely not going to happen. They are not going to play 21 games over 500 the rest of the way out.
Well, then I don't know how they're going
to. I don't know how you believe, though, 94 wins is going to be the benchmark that has to win this division. None of these teams have shown that they're 94-win teams.
Maybe the 90 wins. I don't. They're going to have to win at least 90.
Okay. Appreciate the call, Rick. Yeah, I mean, I think a team's going to win this division on 87, 88 wins. I said before the year that I felt the Brewers were about an 86-win team. They go 500 the rest of the way out, 45 games left. You go 23-22. Just play that way. That's an 84-win team. I imagine the Brewers can play 3-4 games over 500 in that stretch, right around 86, 87 games. And that's, in most seasons, going to get you into the playoffs. Will it be enough in this year? it will prove to be. But you look around the NL and the teams that are hanging around in this wild card race, a lot of them are those incredibly hot, incredibly cold teams. They can get red hot at one point. The St. Louis Cardinals, 19-10, best record in baseball through the month of April. They won 8 games in May. 8. Then you go 500 a month. Rattle off 20 wins in a month. So, I mean, you're looking at a team that's been consistently here all year long, hanging in the race. Give me that team over the team that's going to streak back and forth left and right. Mike's in Greenfield. He's up on the Fan. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, buddy.
Can you hear me okay?
I got you loud and clear, Mike.
Okay. One of my favorite callers about 4 games ago said that the Brewers were going to come out of this funk, and Council's getting his team together, finding out what his guys can do, not last year, but how those guys are doing this year.
Was and, that call you, Mike?
I'm not known for my baseball knowledge, but yeah. I was bringing that up. I just realized I'm outside working, and I'm walking around, and I'm all winded. I hope, and I said they'd win the series.
Yep.
And I too, thought to myself, I got to call somebody and tell them James is going to do a walk-off. And he did, but anybody can do that. It's fun, man. I listened to almost the whole game in the garage, and now I'm going to hop off. And
go enjoy that garage.
You guys love the show, and I'll listen to some more great calls.
All right, buddy. Take it easy, Mike. There's something beautiful about just hanging out in a garage, middle of summer, sweat beating up a little bit. Beautiful night. Listening to the ball game, Uke on the radio. We like to have some fun with Bob. Man, is it going to be tough when there's no more Uke calling Brewer games. Just listening to him driving down 94 earlier today. He's calling Gio Gonzalez GG, telling stories about J.J. Hardy and Ricky Weeks. That's the are you kidding me moment of the game. I'm feeling, okay, it is this 21 minutes into my 25th birthday. This is not one of those fun ones. I feel old. J.J. Hardy and Ricky Weeks were like the first Brewers that I was totally invested. Like, J.J. Hardy was one of the first draft picks that I remember being like, oh, nice. They got this shortstop. He is going to be this and that. And Jim Powell telling me about the Down on the Farm report of what he's doing with the Huntsville Stars and the Nashville Sounds, who are now the Texas Rangers AAA affiliate. And you're looking through, waiting for these guys to get up to the big leagues, and they bring in and usher in a totally new era of Brewers baseball where they're legitimately competitive year in and year out. And those guys got put into the Walk of Fame tonight. That will be a slap in the face. Sean is in Milwaukee. Sean, you're up on 414-799-1250. What's going on?
Hey, man. Happy birthday, by the way.
Thanks, dude.
But, all right, here's what I want to say, and it's not going to be a lot because I'm from Milwaukee, born and raised, diehard Wisconsin fan, but I currently live in New Mexico. Anyway, I'm back in town. I was just at the game. Isn't it time we start holding Council accountable that he needs to let starters go deeper into games? This is ridiculous.
Well, with Gio tonight, and I'll keep you right there, Sean. I think there's definitely an argument, especially for like Chase Anderson in the last couple of starts. He's been closer to getting stretched out. With Gonzalez tonight, I think it might have been an exception, not wanting to rush him back too much from that dead arm. But you're right. Yeah. There is an argument that they're getting close enough to being stretched out longer.
Yeah, Chase Anderson. I don't know about his last start because I've been on vacation, but I saw a stat prior to his last start, his last 8 starts. He was 2-0. He hadn't allowed more than 2 runs in his outing. He hadn't gone more than 6 innings. And the team was 3-5 in those 8 games. He was 2-0. I mean, it's time. Haters giving up a lot of homers now. JJ's not the same guy. No Knable. His pen is not the same as it was last year. It's time.
Appreciate the call.
Let the starters go.
Appreciate it, Sean. And there's a time and a place where Craig Council will admit man-to-man, I think colleague to colleague, baseball fan to baseball fan, which is what this comes down to. Craig Counsell wants his dudes to be long starters. Like, if Craig Counsell had a staff of, just take the Washington Nationals, Patrick Corbin, Steven Strasburg, and Max Scherzer, those dudes would be going into the sixth, seventh inning every single night. Guaranteed. Craig Counsell would like to have those dudes. If Craig Counsell was asked by one of our guys here on the station, who is the number one pitcher you can think of in your career? Head went to Randy Johnson. Yeah, I'd love to have a bunch of Randy Johnsons. Hand on the ball, give me seven innings, clean, easy. Don't have to worry about it. I can write that day right off the calendar. Don't have to worry about my bullpen. Utilizing what he has. But to Sean's point, the horses in that bullpen are clearly just not here like they were last year. But some reinforcements possibly on the way. They also haven't been able to manipulate the roster like they were last year with optionable players, especially on that final roster spot pitching-wise. There's a difference of what they've been able to do simply because of the assets that they have. They haven't had a whole lot of guys that they're bouncing back and forth like you saw Brandon Woodruff do last year. He was in that mix with Adrian Hauser, and you're moving back and forth three or four different guys for one or two spots. Jacob Barnes was in that move. He had to be DFA'd. You saw Birch Smith was a casualty off the 40-man roster today. You're seeing more and more that they're trying to get into that mold. I think that was part of the Jacob Faria want, being able to add and use in that situation. 414-799-1250 to the north side of Milwaukee. Adam's on the fan. Hey, Adam.
Hello, baby Taos. Happy birthday.
Appreciate it.
I wanted to call in tonight after being on the pregame show with you, sir, and just kind of bookend this sucker. But it felt to me like being out there, I was in right field tonight in the bleachers, and it was excruciatingly slow. And
that
I'm never one to leave early, so I didn't, of course. But it just, after watching the Rangers hit homer after homer after homer, and so how they only scored five with as many walks as the Brewers gave up is kind of amazing. But bottom line is there's been so much stress on the late bullpen guys, and they haven't been delivering, like the last caller said, they haven't been delivering like they were last year, not even close. So just being able to get to those leads and to hopefully get in a position where there is less stress on those guys more often would do this team a world of good. Hader is mortal, as we've seen this season.
Yeah.
When he does get hit, they seem to go a long, long way. But he's so good at missing bats. And obviously he's succeeded far more than he's failed this year. But it's just the late inning guys, you know, Faria gave up the dong tonight. Hopefully he can rebound his next time out, but these guys that are pitching late in the game, they have to do a better job of keeping the ball in the ballpark, number one. And they have to stop walking people. Freddie Peralta especially set the tone for the bullpen and for himself. More walks tonight. And granted, everybody was walking, or at least issuing walks. But, you know, it's a bad way. A tight game, you're trying to pitch too fine. I get it.
Yep. But,
you know, when you get up three and you're still walking people, I mean, that's a problem. And that's something that they have to address if they're going to, you know, stay in this race down to the wire.
And it's tough, Adam, because you don't necessarily think that that's coaching, and a lot of it is just simply trusting your stuff. Freddie Peralta late in games, you're right. For him to continue walking guys at the pace that he is, and tonight he's in a game that's tied when he enters the game, I understand that. But he was also in a couple of days ago when you're thinking about his appearance in Pittsburgh. Dude's pitching with a 5-run lead. There's no reason to be walking 2-1 inning in those situations.
Yeah, it's a dangerous thing to do. And we know that Freddie, you know, in particular deals with wildness at times.
Yep.
But, you know, especially when you have the lead, you've got to attack hitters. You know, people make a big deal, and I won't ramble here too long, but people make a big deal about a guy like Jack Morris saying that he pitched to the score a lot when he was a starter, and that's why his ERA was so high. You know, there is something to that, a little bit at least, in the bullpen, in that if you've got enough of a lead, you have to challenge hitters. And if somebody takes you deep with a solo shot, so what? You know, then it's a little bit closer.
Couldn't agree more.
Start bearing down a little bit more. But they've got to attack the strike zone, and just they have to do a better job, period.
Adam, what did you think of the pregame festivities? I thought they were amazing, and the Hell's Bells just gave me chills. What was it like inside the stadium tonight?
It was cool. I noticed Trevor Hoffman in the bullpen during the national anthem, so I was kind of anticipating that that's what they would do, at least at that point, kind of confirmed. But the way that they introduced the guys and just the fact that, you know, when Lane started the introduction, you know, I think maybe like it felt like a tenth of the stadium kind of sensed, oh, this might be a thing. And then as soon as that first bell hit, it was just as electric as it used to be back, you know, at the turn of the decade. Just everybody on their feet, everybody going crazy. And Hoffman looked as good jogging in tonight as he has, you know, throughout his career. So, you know, it was a very cool moment. They did a good job with it. And, you know, for a guy who was only here for 2 years, Ian Hoffman, going in with those other two guys, they're three quality additions to the Wall of Honor. Just, you know, that's what that's there for.
No doubt.
And it was cool to see those guys tonight.
Adam, appreciate it, man. We'll talk soon.
All right, Josh.
It's one of those the Wall of Honor. Great addition to Miller Park. Tremendous idea when Craig Counsell was the special advisor in the front office situation. To add that opportunity, I think is the best way to put it, right? Like, the opportunity for Brewers fans to remember some of their favorite players that aren't necessarily Hall of Famers. Like, Ricky Weeks was a huge part of this organization. You're talking about a dude that was a number one draft pick, number two overall draft pick. He played for the team for 9 years. I mean, he was a major influence in the team and then also to what he did with that group. J.J. Hardy was then shipped out for Carlos Gomez, and that trade just keeps going on and on and on. J.J. Hardy, too, man. They talked to him on the broadcast tonight. You remember J.J. Hardy with the injury bug, and that makes you feel bad. The broken ankle at home plate, still, it just etched in my mind. But that ball over to first base from that shortstop position, one of the smoothest defenders I will ever remember. Quickly before the bottom half of the hour, let's grab Mike in Kenosha. Mike, you're on the fan.
Hey, Tosh. I guess tonight was the case of all's well that ends well, right?
Yep.
I mean, you take it when you get it. I think that, you know, I want to focus on Josh Hader. I know a lot of people are talking about it, but people forget this is the first time that he's been the quote-unquote closer. It maybe some of these home runs have been a product of bad luck, you know, guys hitting pitches, but, you know, he's so heavily relied upon this season is the savior of the bullpen. You know, you got to remember, last year he closed games occasionally when the situation was right, but you had, Knable and Jeffress, you know, and Hader would come in, you know, more of what I call a fireman situation or a matchup situation. And if it worked out, he would close the game. But I think you're seeing maybe, I don't want to say pressure getting to him. That might not be fair. But, you know, to ask a guy to get 5 outs, you know, and
right.
I'm not going to bash Jacob Faria here. It's his second appearance with the Brewers.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you got to have a guy get through the eighth inning with a three-run lead and not have to rely on Hader to get 5 or 6 outs when he's your closer now. And I know Tim Allen has banged his drum all year, and you have too, and I couldn't agree more. Hader is so much better, in my opinion, when he's not the closer, when you can use him in a multitude of roles. But now, understandably, they have no choice.
Right.
And, you know, hopefully this is just, you know, pitchers go into slumps. You know, it seems like every time he gets hit, it's leaving the ballpark instead of, you know, a guy getting underneath it and, a long fly out. But it's a problem, but I think we have to realize that, yeah, Hader's human, but he's young, and it's the first year that he's really faced his pressure.
No doubt about it, Mike. Thanks for the call. It's one of those situations where Josh Hader last year didn't always close games. He changed games. When Josh Hader pitched in games, the Brewers won something like 96% of those games. He only pitched in games that they had the lead outside of game 7 of the NLCS. He came in the most high leverage situations was always, seemingly every single night that he was in the game, he was going up against that team's best. Joey Votto, Bryce Harper. I mean, you name them. And he made them look silly. So I think when you see the maturation of the league adjusting to what Josh Hader is doing, the people are tweeting at us, the Rangers broadcast tonight, going off on Josh Hader. How long does it take to throw four more fastballs? Well, that was part of the allure of Hader last year. I'm going to get on top of you and go. You haven't necessarily seen that pace this year from Josh. Whether that's intentional or if that is just by nature, or if simply maybe he's getting a little stressed out. Maybe those situations are getting to him. Maybe the pressure of those ninth inning rolls is something that's mounting. I can't see it knowing Josh Hader and listening to him every time that we've had the opportunity to talk to him. Just seems like a level-headed guy that the pressure, the moment doesn't get to him. It's simply just the game. But there's a bigger conversation with what's happening to Josh Hader and whether it can be fixed this year or whether it's a personnel situation that they change in the offseason. I'd be surprised if you saw Josh Hader in this role moving forward consistently. 414-799-1250. Eric Thames walks off tonight for the Milwaukee Brewers. They win it 6-5. Get a win, interleague action, which has not been kind to the crew. 4-9 coming into tonight. They'll wrap up the interleague action coming up next week when they take on the Minnesota Twins, part of this homestand, just a two-game set against those Twinkies on Tuesday and Wednesday. Two more games against the Rangers this weekend. We'll hear from Craig Counsell next. This is the Bayview Shade and Blind post-game show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag Admirals50. Tim Allen out. He's back tomorrow, feeling sick, under the weather. You got to preserve your stars, right? So the franchise sits. Baby Tausch is in. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan.
So, what's the skipper got to say about this game? Let's find out. Here's the scoop from the skipper, brought to you by Bryant and Stratton College Athletics, offering athletic scholarships in 15 junior college sports. Learn more at bscbobcats.com. This is the only station Brewers fans need before and after the game. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. Hashtag Admirals50 here on The Fan. Baby Tausch, Bill Schmidt with you until 1 o'clock. Craig Counsell, we always get kind of flared on Twitter of different things that, you know, stir up controversy that Craig says. Oh my goodness, you got to hear what Craig Counsell said. This is one of those nights. We don't listen to this before it comes our way, but apparently people on the social media sphere, which is an ugly place, by the way, let's just call the spade a spade. Apparently Craig Counsell is going to say something that is going to be frustrating to Brewers fans. So let's hear it together. Scoop from the skipper now on The Fan.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it was definitely a tight strike zone. I didn't hear a lot of complaints from the hitters necessarily, but so I don't think I think there was a lot of close pitches thrown tonight that weren't called strikes.
Do you think relievers are tentative to throw strikes? Because even tonight, you see when sometimes they threw a strike, it goes over the fence.
No.
Just how do you describe that win? I mean, does that qualify as kind of a ugly type win, or?
Well, you can describe it any way you want it. We'll describe it as a win, and that's a good one. I mean, it takes a team, you know, and things happen throughout the course of the game. It was a back and forth game, but you know, we're at home. We get the last shot. Josh, I thought, you know, really sucked up the last couple outs and had to work really hard, but kept making pitches and got those last outs to put us in the dugout tied. And then Eric, it was, you know, the first two outs were easy and a little bit unexpected, but Eric put a great swing on a ball.
Is there a concern level right now with Josh and the home runs? I think it's three.
Five. Look, I mean, I think Josh threw the ball well tonight. He struck out four. He had a ton of swings and misses tonight. You know, the pitch that Andrus hit was a pitch that Josh is going to make over and over again this year. And I give Andrews credit. I mean, it was, you know, not many guys are hitting that pitch. So, you know, Josh pitched well tonight. I really believe he pitched very well tonight again. He gave up a home run on a pretty good pitch. Mm. I tip my hat to Andrus.
Okay, now that's the manager being the manager right there. Craig Counsell saying Josh Hader pitched well. Understandably so, Josh Hader did come into a situation where he had to get five outs. And this is what we're talking about with Hader. What situations are going to be ideal for Josh Hader to pitch in? Do you want him in a situation where the game is changing in the middle of the game? Or do you want to save your best arm for the last part of the game in the ninth inning? This is an age-old question. The managers have been dealing with in baseball for years. Does your best pitcher have to be either a starter or a closer? Or can they come in the most high-leverage situations? That's how they used Josh Hader last year. They've had to use him, and they're trying to use him, and stretch him out in a situation like he was last year. And tonight he does get five outs. He gives up the home run, but it's magnified because it's in the ninth inning. So I just had to respond to that because that was what we've got flared on that we were going to be mad about, Josh. I'm not mad that Counts said that Hader didn't pitch bad. I don't know if I would say great. I think that's a strong word. There's other five-letter words that I would use to describe it. Maybe solid. Solid was the one that I'd pick. I mean, four strikeouts, five outs. It's a legit night. But great, Craig. I mean, come on. You're making us have to play this. I don't want to do this.
Super pitch, great.
Come on. How many nights that we're going to hear from that?
Super pitch, great.
So, Counts, let's continue.
To Andrus.
When you look at it as a season, it's like 29 hits, 12 home runs. That you think that's just, you just sort of go with it and just roll the dice that he doesn't give up a home run on a certain night? How do you look at that?
Yeah, I'm going to put Josh in the game again. Yeah. And I think we're in good shape when Josh goes in the game. Yeah. We're in really good shape.
I would agree with Craig. Nice job.
You said before the game you're going to keep an close eye on Gio. Five innings, you got what you wanted out of him, pretty much.
I thought Gio did well. I mean, he's throwing the ball extremely well again. He gave us exactly what we wanted. I thought he made a big pitch to get his last out of the fifth inning. But his changeup was, I thought he used his changeup very well tonight. Really just kind of one pitch he left out up over the plate to Pence, but threw the ball well again.
Oh, Crick, what did you think of their starter, the guy who started the game, a new pitcher?
I mean, I thought he threw the ball well. I mean, his definitely ball had some life on it for sure. It was a lot of the strikeouts were on the fastball, so his fastball had good life. That fifth inning, we did a nice job of, you know, we got him in the stretch, kind of deeper into his pitch count, and then I thought things changed for him at that point. So I think we had the right inning kind of at the right time. We didn't end up capitalizing big on that inning, but, made him throw a bunch of pitches and got him out of the game.
That's Craig Counsell after the game tonight. Says that he's going to go with Josh Hader in that situation any day of the week. Good. Stick to the guns. That's what you should do. Daniel Plucker, producing the show tonight, has Josh Hader's numbers in the month of July and or since July 1st, and they are not good, Dan.
No, they're really not. He has pitched in 15 and a third innings, 16 hits, 11 runs, 9 of them earned, 3 walks, 25 strikeouts, 3 blown saves, and a 5.5 plus ERA.
Now, you said 11 runs. That's got to be close to like 8 or 9 homers that he's given up in that situation, too.
Yeah, let's see. So he gave up a home run today, and let's see one second here.
He's continued. I mean, if you look back into the Oakland series, there were 3 right there.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 today, since July 1st.
And to say that Josh has looked mortal, I think, is like it's kind of a cop-out answer, right? Like,
right.
You're looking at the top players in the game. They're going to give up runs. We know that. But I use this analogy that it's similar to when you're playing rec sports, right? And you hear the dad in the background. Just start a little earlier, Johnny. The harder they come in, the farther they go. But I mean, to an extent, they're right. I mean, if big league hitters are going to barrel up balls, Olsen barreling up a ball against him in Oakland, those are going to happen. Andrews hit a hard pitch tonight. I mean, like, those aren't pitches that many big league hitters are hitting out, and there's a reason why Hader's going to challenge people the way he has. I think the interesting one is, and I'm going to check this out for Monday on the Big Show, I want to see what Fangraphs has on his spin rate lately, because if that fastball seemingly does have a little bit of late life to it, a little bit of movement late to it, if that fastball is straightening out for Josh, some of that can be, too, of it, of what has been some of the bugaboo for Josh here in the month of July. And to add to it, at some point, you got to think the dude's arm's going to start getting tired. I mean, like, they're wearing on him for all of these multiple inning performances. Dan, how many of those were multi-inning appearances? Because the way that it's stacking up for Josh and a lot of these save opportunities, it's not necessarily the traditional save spot where you come in, three outs in the ninth inning, boom, bam, bum, you're done. And Hader's had to be stretched out a few more times in this than I think he and the Brewers would like.
Yeah, today was his fifth appearance over the last month where he's pitched more than one inning.
It's a necessary evil. Is that a good way to put it? Like, as many times as you're going to have Josh Hader, you're going to want to pitch him in these games.
Right. I mean, he's one of the most closeout pitchers in baseball, and it's just upsetting that he's doing it this at this time, because it's like, this now is a time where you have to be pitching your best, and it's a time where the Brewers are looking to add more wins under their belt.
No doubt.
And it's just the worst time for it to be happening, but they're winning despite it. I mean, four straight.
Well, Dan, you know me. I'm a positive guy. I'm gonna swing that around and say maybe this is a better time. This is better than September 15th. I'll say this. Like, in a situation for Hader to slow down and then be able to ramp back up, you talk about them being able to play their best baseball. They're going to need Josh Hader to be better than he's been here in the last month. Appreciate it, Dan. And Dan Plucker joining the show tonight, producing the show for us. Intern Mother Plucker, you know that voice. You know that name. This is 105.7 FM, The Fan. Austin, Texas, hanging out as well. I'm Bill Baby Tao Schmidt. Tim Allen, sent him home sick. He's not feeling well. I don't want any of that in the building tonight. And Eric Thames, well, he likes leaving the building, especially when it's in the ninth inning. We'll hear from him next. But first, on the way out, we got to hear this one more time.
And Thames, way back! Eric Thames will lock it up tonight! 6-5 Milwaukee! As Thames goes yard, and the Brewers win the opener of this series.
When you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not. So when it comes to the crew, who's hot and who's not?
It's brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind, providing the highest quality window fashion since 1926. Find out more at BayviewShade.com. Bill Baby Tao Schmidt with you. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show after the Brewers get a walk-off win. Who's hot? That's Eric Thames. It's always hot. You know this. You know you're hot when you're interviewed after the game by Sophia Minard on the field, especially after you walk it off.
Thanks, guys. Eric, you are fired up after that one. Your third career walk-off home run.
Thames pumping up the crowd. Basically, she just come out to like Stone Cold's music when he does this.
Eric, this game was a dogfight. What were you looking for in that at-bat?
I just wanted something to hit, man. No extra innings. We got to go home and go to sleep. No extra innings. Let's go.
Eric, how are you going to be able to sleep with how fired up you are right now?
Oh, man. That was fun. That's fun. Oh, I'm tired. I'm sorry.
Eric, you guys had three different leads in this game. Just what did it take to pull this one out here in the bottom of the ninth?
Grit. A lot of grit, man. The Brew Crew, we don't quit, so let's go.
You guys are coming off of a series sweep against Pittsburgh. What kind of opportunity do you see here as you host the Rangers and the Twins coming up, taking advantage of some momentum here at home?
Yeah, we got to get two more. I mean, we're in a hot race right now, so two more wins, keep it rolling.
All right, thanks, Eric, for the time. Congratulations.
That's Sophia Minner with Eric Thames after the game. Eric Thames juiced up, as he always is. That's Thames. I mean, like, what else? The guy listens to metal. He's going to be excited. That dude was pumped. It's always fun, though, when you have players that just show you, like, the straight, raw emotion like that. Isn't that what we want? Don't we want to see guys like that? It only makes sense. This, before we get on out of here, I wanted to make sure that I brought you a little bit, a couple of my favorite parts of tonight's Wall of Honor ceremony. This was number 8 talking about old number 7 up there, up the right side of the defense that they had back in 07.
JJ, congratulations on being inducted into the Brewers Wall of Honor. Very cool accomplishment. Feel incredibly fortunate to have had you as a teammate for 3 years. I'm very thankful for everything that you helped me with, my transition from a minor leaguer to a big leaguer. I'm very thankful that when you were at shortstop and I was at third base, we had at least one good defender over there. Congratulations on a tremendous career. Thank you again for just being such a great friend and teammate for so many years, and for the impact you had on my career and the rest of our teammates as well. So congratulations again. Wish you continued success in all of your post-baseball endeavors.
That's Ryan Braun talking about J.J. Hardy tonight. J.J. Hardy inducted into the Wall of Honor along with Ricky Weeks, Trevor Hoffman. That group of three. Trevor Hoffman only here for 2 years, 09 and 2010. Just looking into the numbers, though, Trevor Hoffman had one of his best seasons as a major leaguer here in Milwaukee. An all-star year his first year. 37 saves and an ERA of 183. That was the second lowest in his Hall of Fame career. Trevor Hoffman, J.J. Hardy, and Ricky Weeks all immortalized today on the Wall of Honor. Tremendous honor by the Milwaukee Brewers to some guys that helped turn this organization around and bring it to where it is today, a team that expects and an organization expects to be competing year in and year out. That'll do it, Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Eric Thames walks it off, a 6-5 final. They win it in 9. It wasn't pretty, but it doesn't matter. You don't get points for style here in Major League Baseball. They go at it again tomorrow night, 6-10. We got the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on deck show at 5. This is 105.7 FM The Fan. Good night.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.